We can cut it. We can do it. And if anybody wants to argue the case that Christ didn't exist or something of that nature, bring it on. Because we're living proof that he does. Sinners converted, sinners serving God, sinners getting it done. Some of us even ex-sinners, okay, getting it done. And there you go. So don't think anything common that God's going to test you. Why? If he's going to use you, he wants to know you've got it, that you still remember where the conflict is. It's between God and Satan. Open your Bibles, if you would, over in the great book of, let's go to Jeremiah, the great book of Jeremiah. Now, God is talking to his children here, and we're going to start a little deeper into the chapter, but so that you can come up to speed and so you know where we're at here. Chapter 11, the great book of Jeremiah. I want you to know and realize that Jeremiah, as it's written in chapter 1, the first six verses, God knew him while he was in heaven. And God chose him while he was in his mother's womb to be a prophet. How could he do that? He knew him. He knew what he could do. He knew he was capable. He knew he could produce. God, he was a tested instrument that God knew he could count on. Now, verse 11, just to kind of bring you up to speed while you're turning there, reads in verse 3, chapter 11, verse 3, Jeremiah. And say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. God makes contracts. They're simple contracts. And he expects you to keep them. He expects you to honor them. And it's just that simple. Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. That is his promise. That's not just idle talk. He says, you follow my commandments. But do you think he will test you with that a little bit? The word, that is to say, in life, how familiar are you with it? Does it mean anything to you at all? Or do you just play act? Well, brother, you don't understand. I read it all once. Oh, well, you must be a very brilliant person if you absorbed it in one reading. I don't know how many times I've read it, and I still haven't absorbed it all. It's pregnant. It grows. And God allows you to grow with it if you give to him, if you release to him, if you make yourself available to him. And let me tell you something. He's going to test you in this life. You're going to be tested. He uses many analogies in Scripture as the assayer. Like, let's find out here's some stone, some ore. Let's find out what it's worth. And he uses the monetary value of silver and gold to put the heat to it to see what comes out, what you're made of. Now, that's an analogy to that is spiritual. What are you made out of? How much do you love him? You got something you got to go do first? Bye. Or do you really love him when he wants your attention, that you follow him? And he doesn't expect anyone to become a religious fanatic, all right? You know something? All he wants you to do is love him. Is that too difficult to understand? That's the one thing he will never force you to do. Why? It'd be fake. It'd be worthless. You can't force love. You can't play act love. You either, it's real or it won't. I guarantee you it won't be. It's got to be the real thing. That's what he wants from each of us. And quite frankly, that's why he tests us. So, having said that, let's go on to the knowing the subject matter. is follow my word. Go to the 18th verse in this, the 11th chapter of Jeremiah. Let's read it. Old Testament. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou shouldest me their doings. 19, but I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. Jeremiah becomes a type of Christ here. They wanted to kill him. And I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. Now, this is what they tried with Messiah. Guess what? It sealed their doom when they cut off Messiah, or attempted to. It won't happen. As it is written in 2 Hebrews chapter 14, God came, sent the Son to in the flesh just like you are, so that he could prove he didn't ask you to do something he couldn't do himself, but he died on the cross to destroy death, which is to say the devil. So he sealed, that's why I say he sealed his own doom in crucifying Christ. But O Lord of hosts, that judgeth righteously, that triest, you underline it, Bacon in the Hebrew tongue, triest, the reins, that's your very deepest inside, and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. I come to you. Here saying, Father does trust your very mind and your heart. Why? He knows what you're thinking. He knows your every thought. When you love him and are asking for leadership, for guidance, for wisdom, for knowledge, and deeper knowledge comes from obeying him and being used of him. Well, how can I tell whether he blesses you or not? You know, I mean, hey, I can tell you right away how much you're worth in his eyes, in a sense, all right? Because if you are producing fruit, that is to simply say you are loving him. Letting him, that makes his day. And that's what he wants. He wants to simply, he even set some of his most simple illustrations forth for us as to being able to discern. He said, well, how can I really tell about that person? Test the fruit. By their fruit you shall know them. Well, let me say, he goes out every Saturday night and gets drunker than a dog. And then he comes home and tries to get all primed up and come to church on Sunday or make a late mass. And then he gets himself all cleaned up, and he cleans up real good. And then Monday he's out drunk again, you know, with the troops. Well, you can't con, that's foolishness. You can't con God. You can't serve him, all right, and be a slave to some habit. Okay, you have to let, he comes first, all right? I think he deserves that. He expects it. He's going to try. In other words, he knows their heart, and he knows their mind. And he said, do, and that's totally fair, right? If somebody has been really bad, sinner, or ripping off somebody, God's going to correct them. God's vengeance will see that they get everything they got coming to them. That's not going to fail, all right? A lot of people will say, well, it seems like the bad people always win. Uh-uh. Don't kid yourself. They're miserable wretches indeed. Okay? Verse 21. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Now, you would have to know who the men of Anathoth were. Do you know what Anathoth was? It was a special little town set aside for priests. They're preachers. I mean, what kind of preachers is it that's going to kill you? I mean, they're not really a very friendly lot, are they? I mean, this is where the actual priests of Jerusalem were allowed to farm and live, and take care of then of the people in the surrounding areas. They were against the word of God. And you all that have studied Ezra and Nehemiah know how the Nethinim worked their way in and how false teachings worked their way in until the very teachers themselves were hypocrites, simply not Levitical, but doing liturgical duties so the Leviticals could sit on their cans. Okay? They had cans back then. Okay? Taking it easy, you know, let them do the work. I'll be a priest. I don't have to work. That's a wrong attitude. That'll get God's attention, I guarantee you. But that's who the men of Anathoth were. Verse 22, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. Famine for what? The famine is not for bread, but for hearing the truth, the word of God. Amos chapter 8, verse 13 through 15. Verse 23, and there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, the preachers that are supposed to be preachers, even the year of their visitation. When is that? When the Lord returns. They're going to be visited. Judgment starts at the pulpit. And hey, praise God, bring it on. All right, that's, he's promised it. But he tries you to see if you're able. You know, and what does he get sometimes when he brings heat down on somebody? Just really puts it to them. He's got something really big down the road he wants them to accomplish. And he puts some heat to them. And, oh, God, why are you doing this to me? I'm good, I just can't hardly say. He hates poor me babies. I'm not going to say he hates them, but he sure gets disappointed in them. Somebody, a little old hothouse lily that wants to be primped. And let the little sun hit her and, or him. Down they go. Okay? Well, I just can't stand pain. It isn't necessarily a matter of standing pain. It's fortitude. Being able to face the enemy and stand for something. That's what makes the difference. Is being able to stand for the love of Christ. That's why he tests people. Well, let's stick here in this same book of Jeremiah. Let's go back to chapter 9. God trying and testing his people. He does to you today. Are you aware of it? I'm sure you are. Sometimes, again, the reason I wanted to deliver this lecture is because some people think it's chastisement, and it isn't. He wants to see whether he can be... Just take Job. Job, God says about Job, Satan, what do you think about my man? He said, you can't bother him. Satan said, you take that wall of protection around him, which we all have if you really love the Lord. God said, he's good enough that I can remove that wall and you still can't touch him. Boy, they put Job through it, all right? Well, he was trying him. Testing him. Job hadn't done a thing. But God sometimes wants to know how much you love him. And he will test you. Chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slaying of the daughter of my people. Not feeling sorry for self, but worried about the people of God. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, persons, there's no gender in this, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers and assembly of treacherous men. Verse 3, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. They don't care about the truth. That doesn't make any difference. For they proceed from evil to evil. They go from bad to worse. And they know not me, saith the Lord. I'm going to tell you what. You could almost say this is written for today. When you look around you. We have we have lines of gentlemanship being broken, trespassed against, right on the floor of the Senate, some of the highest offices of the land. That should not be done. It would seem that when one brings shame upon the nation and its higher offices, that it makes it easy for others to follow and bring shame on the rest. They couldn't still act like a gentleman. There are nice ways to call people a liar, okay, without simply coming out and saying, liar, 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 pants on fire. Okay, might as well, you know, okay. But they are doing that right from the floor of the Senate. What a disgrace. Do you realize what that makes us look like to other nations? I'm ashamed of it. I really am ashamed of it. That we have to counter that now without going too far that way ourselves. You know, we have freedoms in this great nation to teach and to preach and to practice freedom of religion. And many are trying to give that up. You know, like you will have people who will say, I'm going to tell you something, that Patriot Act is taking away our freedom. Are you a crook? What kind of outlaw are you? You know, people can tap my phone anytime they want to. I don't say anything that I'm ashamed of. I have some things that are very private. But I'm not an outlaw and I'm not a crook. And we do have some people that are trying to kill our children without thought, kind of in the name of religion. Sometimes it takes a little extra measure, a little common sense, to be able to muster the lies, the deceit that comes forth. Hey, God is not happy with it, all right? And it goes from bad to worse. That's what the Hebrew connotation is for. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant. That's where heel grabber comes from, okay? Supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. This is something that you have to be very careful of, because you have discernment, spiritual discernment. A Christian will not do his neighbor likewise, okay? Why? Love. Love changes things. You don't have to worry about it. But in a time when you have the controversy between Satan and our Heavenly Father so prevalent as it is in the world today, be careful, my friend. God is going to test you. I don't know, when he puts your silver spiritually in the fire, what comes out? Okay, verse 5. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught through their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. We have certain scribes that have done this all down through the years. They're called Kenites, and they like to work at it, all right? I don't know. All they are scribes. They can't change a whole lot. Are you bright enough to catch it? Okay. Are you wiser than the serpent? You're supposed to be. Verse 6. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. His truth amounts to nothing. Well, let's get God out of everything. Let's take it out of our schools. We wonder why little children shoot each other. Love? I don't think so. Confusion? You got it. Where did, in all our travels, where did love go? Who asked love to be moved out? Who caused common sense to stop coming by the door? 7. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them. You think he won't test you, friend? and try them. That is a term of a sage, that is to say, to assay you. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? I have to do something. Verse 8, their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his wait. He lays in wait to do harm to his neighbor. Is this where the old saying, do your neighbor before he does you, or do your brother before he does you? It's not biblical, but it would seem that some people fall in this category. You know, everything your neighbor, a neighbor is one of the best friends you can ever have. He can watch your property while you're gone or while you're there. And everything he's got is his. It belongs to him. And you should be happy for him. I don't care if his tractor is 10 times newer than yours. You just keep the old thing running and be happy for him that he's got a brand new one. Okay? He's your neighbor. That's love. And that's appreciation of people. Where did it go? Some of it's still around, and I thank God for it. Okay? Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? God pays attention to this nation. Okay? You know, you have certain people that will say, well, this nation should never have gone into Iraq. Never. There was no reason for it. Well, tell me this, friend. Are you happy that Saddam Hussein is kind of out of power and that he was murdering hundreds of thousands of people? Did away with one whole village of Kurds, 5,000 of them? Oh my, yes, I am so happy he is gone. But there's no weapons of mass destruction. He was the weapon of mass destruction, and he is gone. What's your problem? Well, I just want to call somebody a liar. Well, call yourself one. Okay? Use common sense. Love surpasses all. What better thing can man do for humanity than try to bring peace and independence to a people that were being slaughtered? I mean, you know, we even take care of our animals better in this country. And you have certain fringe elements that like to wrap themselves into deceit and pretend it's truth, when common sense flew the coop a long way back down the road. It's amazing. God keeps score, and God will answer. Turn back to chapter 6 of Jeremiah. Just spending a little bit of time here with the prophet that God chose before he was ever born. Your first chapter documents it. God didn't have to test Jeremiah. He knew from before what he was capable of doing. And I've got some good news for you. He knows the same thing about you. Verse 26. Have you ever felt put upon? Ever felt used? Chapter 6, verse 26. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth. That means you better get ready to be sad. And wallow thyself in ashes. Make the mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation. Boy, sing those sad songs, for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. And he's going to. Okay. The spoiler is Satan, the spurious Messiah. You can cut it, though. You don't have to sing a sad song. Why? You know it beforehand. Verse 27, I have set thee for a tower and a fortress. What has God set, God's elect? I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. That means assay it. test it. What are they worth? Can they cut it, or are they a bunch of wimps? You know, do you know what separates a can-do person from a wimp? Love and understanding. You give me, this is probably a digression, but I guarantee you, I know from past experience, you give me about 60 wimps and give me 10 weeks with them, and I'll turn you back some men. Okay? Why? Love, pride, and self, God, and country. All right? That's what makes the difference. Okay? Discipline from our Father and in His Word. He set us as a tower, as a way to hold His Word, not ours, His Word, whereby men could reach it with understanding. It wasn't all fuzzy and confused, but rich with facts, rich with promises, and absolutely production and prosperity from Almighty God in everything they do when they successfully love Him and follow Him. You see, He didn't say, I set you there to be pretty, intelligent, and just better than anybody else. First of all, do you know what a tower is? That's for watching. That's to watch for the enemy and what he's doing. And do you know what a fortress among my people is? A place that brings a safety to them. A watchman that keeps them safe. That's your purpose. How many people do you know that haven't got a hint, even a hint, that God loves them? That they're His child. And He cares what happens to them. He cares a great deal that they find Him and that they serve Him whereby He can use them. It makes a difference, okay? Again, to say and try is bakan. It means tested by fire, proved. 28. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. You know, if you've ever been around a furnace of purifying metals, do you know what slag is? Slag is junk. It looks bad. It's dirty. It bubbles up. It has no consistency, basically. Just junk that gets embedded with the good stuff. You don't want to be that, okay? The billows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, can't get any good whatsoever from it. For the wicked are not plucked away. They're rejected stuff, okay? Verse 30, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. When God tries you and tests you, what does He test? Well, naturally, well, what is it God wants from me? Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. He wants your love. Okay? The first thing He's going to test is whether you really, truly love Him, or are you just play acting. You know, that's the first thing He's going to test you. And if that doesn't check out, He won't go any further. Okay? It's over. Because what He wants most of all is His children to love Him. That's why He created you. He wanted you to say, Father, I love you. Help me, or give me knowledge or wisdom, and let me be a blessing to those I come in contact with. A lot of people make a great big thing about this prayer of Jabez. If you pray that, it'll be... And they're so ignorant. But they don't realize Jabez didn't ask for himself. He was a righteous man, and he asked for other people. Jabez's name has nothing to do with it. It is the very seed of what it was he was asking for his people. Do you care about them? You know, you can get upset about them, but my dear friend, that's why you're in this world, is to watch for the enemy, have a good word to give to people to build them up, not tear them down, to steer them away from lies and deception, to cause them simply to think for themselves and give God what he wants more than anything in the world, and it's free, and that's love. To love him enough to want to read his letter with understanding. I don't know, how many really great big important things do you have in your life than your soul? This whole life doesn't last long, but your soul lasts forever if you love him, if you have helped him, if he can find place for you, if he can take pride in you. I don't know, what are you worth spiritually? I guarantee you one thing, I don't know, nor does anyone else, but he does. Why? He tests you. He knows you. Okay, to the New Testament, all right? Let's go to 2 Timothy. Let's see what Paul might have to say in some of the, as well as other writings. And 2 Timothy, let's pick it up with chapter 2. This is kind of encouraging you to be strong. Where do you draw your strength from? You better know. From Christ. We always draw our strength from him. Without him, you've got none, okay? Because what you need and what you lack, he will make up for. All right? Verse 11 of chapter 2, to cut to the chase here. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If you're in him, you're going to live forever. That's why it's important that you love him. It's eternal. We're going to be around a long, long time and happy about it. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And that's just the way it is. Well, I didn't really want to. And hey, let me tell you something. Our nation, when our nation begins to deny God because some hypocrite, some imbecile, some infidel, but you're calling names, you bet, doesn't like God's name, tough. Okay? It's this political correctness is Satan's main tool. You know, a gentleman or a lady never offend anyone unless they deserve to be offended. If somebody deserves to be offended, then praise God. All right? Well, how could someone deserve to be offended? To take Satan's line. Okay? We will not allow God to be removed from this nation, which is a Christian nation, is blessed of God, and for that reason are we prosperous. For that reason does he bless us. For that reason, quite frankly, you're free. You don't have to go down to the courthouse tomorrow to get a chit to go to Joplin and explain why you're going there. Why? You're free. 13, if we believe, he's not going to deny you, but if we keep allowing people to deny God's presence, he'll deny our nation as well. It's not going to happen, period. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive. Do you know what strive means? That means wrestle. strive not about words to no profit, words that are nonsense, that don't make any difference, but to the subverting of the hearers. We do not subvert, but we wish to subversion. Subversion is the aim of the enemy, but Christians bring people to Jesus, the Lord. Okay, 15. This is why we came here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means to take God's word and note who it's written to, what the subject and object is. But the word approved is important. It is the Greek word dakamos, and it means current after essay. That's saying a mouthful, and you want to listen to it. Approved means brought up to date, right to this minute, current, after assay, after having the fire put to you, after finding out what you're made of. That's what Christ's mind is as he assays you to see what you're worth. Now, and I'm not talking about monetarily. I'm talking about spiritually. And my friends, listen to me. How difficult is that to understand for him to want to know if you love him or not, if you trust him? We've got quite a battle coming up, and he's got to have people he can count on. Okay? Now, you might say, well, I just don't see why he's that concerned. Well, let me ask you a question. How about your mate? How would you like to really, do you ever test them to know whether they love you or not? No, of course not. You know, and people will walk them, how do I look, darling? Do I look okay today? Or, oh, did you enjoy the meal? And expecting, fantastic, wonderful, super. That's testing love, okay? I mean, it's about, maybe I'm being silly in a way, okay? I don't know. But people do, all right? We test to see if someone loves us or not. Why doesn't he have that right? Because we're made in his image. He wants to know that you love him. He wants to know that he can count on you. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no sin in that. And that's why this word approved here is absolutely the Greek meaning dakamos is so important. It really is. Because it doesn't mean your report of the assay from 10 years ago. It's current. Right now. How do you feel about him, okay? How do you feel about the word? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And they do. Increase porkopto. Boy, do they grow. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus, belonging to marriage, such a nice name, and Philetus, beloved, two sweet names. You know what the only problem was? They were teachers. And they taught the resurrection had already taken place. It's kind of like people tell you, you're going to resurrect right out of here. You're never going to have any problems. Just fly away like a big butterfly. You know, you're gone. You're out of here. Well, that's what their sin was, and the two are about the same. False teachers, all right, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. How ignorant that would be. And overthrow the faith of some. Hey, they'll be accountable for that. That's sad. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. You got that? Have you got that seal? Do you know where that seal is? It's your mind. Your mind is that is capable of loving. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The babblings and the nonsense. But stick with the Father, rightly dividing the word, showing yourself approved. That's to say, current, up to date, loving him and wanting to follow him. For your own benefit, you would be in trouble if that were the case, my dear one. God's elect, don't worry. You're concerned about your own benefit. That's natural. But your drive for knowledge of God is to help your family, to help your brothers, to give a lift when it's possible, because extra power comes from God to take care of such as that. And do you know something? The reason Moses was blessed so much is one day he asked, not for himself, but for the people. And God granted a magnificent wish or a request, because the thought was upon the people. A watchtower in a fortress. That's what he has appointed. A caretaker, an observer. And being that protector in the spiritual sense means, you might say, well, do you think he wants me to go out and preach? No. Do you know something? Some of the greatest witnesses in the world come from neighbor to neighbor, family to family. When they see how solid you are, they're going to come to you and say, how can you be so sure of yourself at a time like this? How can you be so blessed when everything else is hard times and going downhill? God. God's blessings. He does it. Okay. So, and he trains us in that vein of thought and that love, that your main purpose is to see that truth comes forth. In closing, 2 Corinthians. Real short here. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You'll find 2 Corinthians immediately following 1. And chapter 13 immediately follows chapter 12. Okay. Now, is everybody awake? You know, tested by God is a wonderful subject. You should rejoice that he does love you enough to test you. That means he cares, okay? Okay, we're going to go with chapter 13. Let's pick it up with verse 5. A couple, three verses, and we're there. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Know that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Unless you're just pretending to be a Christian. Christ is in you. You can examine yourself. You have felt the touch of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know. You know that you know. You know that his word is true. Though we sometimes have misunderstandings. But the real language will straighten it out for you. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. I hope you know that when we came there and taught you the truth, that we can stand the test. And again, implied here. 7. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Even if we fail, I want you to be honest, that we should appear approved. That word approved again means tested. That you're simply looking like good Christians for our benefit. Okay. That you're play acting. Verse 8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We encourage you to do right at all times, regardless of what you might hear about us, all right? And that is a good saying. And we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection, which means maturity. I want you to grasp some from that, the thought. Was Paul building himself up as some great teacher that went there? No. He said, I want you to know, I want you to do what is right and don't play act. Why? You can't con God, okay? You either love him, he knows it. You can't play games with him because he knows what you're thinking, okay? And he says, even if I stumbled, I want you to continue on doing what is right, what is good. In other words, he was doing that for their benefit, not himself. So sometimes when you examine yourself, think about it. We are so blessed here in Northwest Arkansas that we feed such a large flock. We have a staff that is able to reach out to people in serving them and assisting them. And we thank our Father that it is really He that does this, that it is really He that in His Spirit that bring blessings all over the world because of this word that we have been handling. Rightly divide it, and after you rightly divide it, absorb it, eat it in, take it in. It is healthy for you. You will never starve. You will always be full of His blessed truth, not from what some man said, this man or any other man, but what your Father Almighty God has to say. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of serving you. Be with us this day. Father, we welcome the test, Father, and we welcome the privilege of being able to serve, that we may give that your light and turn the wattage up where it shines around the world. In Jesus, Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
That's what the word Adam in Hebrew means, okay? Now, if you're talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it states that the Adam, was the first, and Christ, Christos, was the second Adam, then it was utilized to show that we have two forms of body as Christ was transfigured, and that being the spiritual body and so forth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Becky from West Virginia. I told my sister-in-law that Satan cannot read our minds, but he can put thoughts in our head, and she didn't believe me. She wants documentation. That would take too long for a question. Order the tape Heart Knower. Heart Knower. This is what God is called, Cardio Knower. He knows what's in your heart. Satan doesn't, and both are documented in that tape, but it takes about an hour or more to do it, so do that. Debbie from New Jersey. My question is, does the earth not sit true north and south because of the overthrow? And will it be set back in its proper position when God comes back with his kingdom after the millennium? I think that is my feeling. It is documented by Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, that the oceans are all done away with and the earth is put back in its rejuvenated. So if something is rejuvenated, usually that means it's going back to its original, it's restored. And the reason I feel that we have jet streams and storms is our North Pole is 90 miles from true north. We pilots have to make corrections in altimeters whether you're going east or west. West is best and east is least. It's an old saying that of course everything is done by computer anymore and things like that are falling by the wayside, but back then it meant a lot because that deviation could put you several miles off course if you weren't familiar with it. I do believe it'll be corrected. Beverly from Florida. I don't go to church, but I pray to Jesus that I feel he hears me. He has answered a lot of my prayers, but there are some he didn't answer. Do I have to go to church to let him know that I really love him and believe in him? Because the problems I'm facing are just too much for me to handle. Oh, you can handle it. I want you to make a note of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let me say it again. Write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. In my lifetime, one of the best men I ever met in my life, as far as being honest and a straight arrow, as far as I know, never darkened the door of a church. But he was a lot better Christian than a lot of church poppers that would try to be car salesmen and what have you, that sold used cars and went to the church to kind of set up a reputation. The old farmer, he lived it. So church is good, but it's how a person lives, and church is where two or three are gathered anywhere. It's not a building. So don't think if God has answered much of your prayers, he's not. If we ask for something he doesn't want us to have, he's not going to give it to us because he knows that it could do us harm. So you have to ask in his will and trust him when some of those don't come in. Think of the ifs compared to God's promises. Maybe you're not doing some of the ifs, okay? In other words, this promise is good if you believe, all right, so forth. Joanne from Washington. Is it wrong to use hypnosis to quit smoking? It is really self-hypnosis. It's not like fully being hypnotized. And if it helps, that's fine, okay? It is natural that smoking is harmful to the body. It will do harm. So it's better not to. Although it is not a sin to hell, it's a sin against your body, your health. So I see nothing wrong with self-hypnosis. Usually the $90 you have to pay or whatever it costs to get it will really make you think twice before you buy another package of cigarettes because you just tossed $90. But they will take you through and they'll talk about little babies, how they had a pacifier when they were a baby, and you that smoke, that ain't my pacifier. And here we go. See, I mean, they're going to really put you through it. And we'll see if you still want one very bad after that. But it's if it helps, hey, go for it. There is nothing sinful about it as long as the person is decent, all right? I would never let anyone even put me under self-hypnosis that I did not trust pretty good. Lorraine from Colorado. There is a question I have been wanting to ask about the transfiguration. You have never gone into the depth far enough to answer this. Not your fault. When Jesus was transfigured with Moses and Elijah, did he stay in a transfigured form, or did he go back into his flesh body after they left? Was his transfigured body crucified? I have never understood this. Thank you for your unfailing the teaching of the Word of God. Well, now, listen. Go into more depth. Let's don't get nonsense, okay? Naturally, the transfiguration was only a vision for them. Were they actually there?
Yep.
But it was put forth for a vision so that they would know. This is very important, and you don't go any deeper than this, okay? You go any deeper than this, and you're in boom boom land looking for trouble. It happened so they would know that Christ resurrected, that his flesh body would not remain behind. Do you understand how important that is? Because you have even books written today, the Passover plot, where people, they came and stole his body away in the night. You know, a bunch of idiots like that would say things, but this transfiguration took place. He said, don't tell anyone about this until after the crucifixion, after it happens, then share it. That my body, and then in the second chapter of Acts, it speaks that David's body corrupted in the soil, meaning it simply went back to dirt. Christ didn't, yet he was called Father, okay? So you can't go any deeper than that. The meaning was to show that Christ would be transfigured. No one would steal his body away. It's a proof of the resurrection, which is what Christianity is based on. All right, I hope that helps you. I'm out of time again. Hey, I love you all a lot. Do you know why? Because you like to study God's Word in more depth. And what's most important, God loves you for it. All right? It really makes his day. And when you make his day, he's going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. One thing really most important, you stay in his Word. Hey, every day in his Word is a good day, even when there's trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Genesis 1:46, the first six chapters in God's Word. The world that was. Did you realize there was a world age before this one? Same old world.